Let us now open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read to verses 35 to 57. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 35 to 57. This is the passage where the Apostle Paul writes about the resurrection. This is the living word of the living God. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly body is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first Adam became alive, a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I will tell you this, brothers. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to his word. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would give us strength to understand, that these deep mysteries might become great beacons and joys and comforts in our life. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would give us strength now, that our eyes might be opened and our heart might be filled with joy as we open your word. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters, every year we celebrate this day of victory, the day in which Jesus conquered death, the day in which Jesus arose from the dead to live forevermore, the day in which one moment Jesus' body lay dead in the tomb, and the next moment he opened his eyes, he rose up, and he walked out. What a glorious day it is, a day of celebration, for we can speak to him because he lives, and he lives forevermore. He arose and will never die again. But there is also a joy and celebration in Easter that should be very personal and soon to be very physical, a physical joy in the resurrection. For through Jesus' resurrection, God has and will raise up believers from the dead, so that forever and ever we can see the risen Lord with our own eyes. Now, we've had that joy this morning when we sing together, when the organ plays and we read these words, and there's this joy boiling up in our inside, right? That the Lord has risen, he is no longer dead. But still, it's kind of from a distance, isn't it? It's kind of looking through the window of the house. We can see it, we can rejoice in it, but we still need to enter into the final presence of the Lord. But that is soon to come. For those who are united with Jesus on earth, they will raise from the dead after they die. The whole world lives with the idea that this life is all there is. Just the other day, I heard that a person says, well, I don't fear death because it's just like the 4 billion years before I was born. So blind, so unknowing, so meaningless. If life just goes to death and then it's gone, why live? Why worry? Why go through cares in this world? But we remember that death cannot hold us. For through Jesus Christ, we will live. And as Jesus arose from the death, so we will also arise from the death one day through the very same resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we rejoice that the Lord is alive, that we can pray to him and that he hears our prayers. But also, we rejoice that one day that same strength will raise our dead bodies to eternal life. But how? How will we rise from the dead? How will we arise? Well, that's the question we will look into this morning through the following points as you find them in the back of your bulletin. First, the resurrection of a bare kernel. Then the resurrection of the man of heaven. And finally, the resurrection of the last trumpet. The beginning, the resurrection of the bare kernel, it's Paul's words here. In order to explain the resurrection, he uses the example of a kernel, a seed. I thought, well, I could bring a seed, but it would be pretty useless for you because you could just have to imagine. So I might as well just say, well, there's a seed in my hand because it's so small you can't see it. If I would put it on the screen, you would say, well, why would you put a seed on the screen? There's no beauty in it. We know that it's a beautiful thing because out of it comes life, but a seed in itself, you wouldn't dress yourself up in the morning to look like a seed, right? You wouldn't dress yourself in the colors or the patterns of a seed. At least I have seen very few women that wear dresses filled with pictures of seeds. There's nothing beautiful and special about a seed, at least not to look at. But then Paul writes this in chapter 15, verse 38, God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. In other words, the kernel is only the beginning of its life. It's not the end goal. It's the early stage. It should fall into the ground and die. So that out of dead death comes new life. The seed of resurrection gives it its final stage, right? It's first the seed, it dies, and out of its new life, out of its resurrection, springs up a flower or a tree or whatever it's in the seed. And so this stage in which we see it as a seed, it's only the ugly beginning of a beautiful life ahead. Then Paul shows the transformation that happens in the resurrection. He writes in verse 42 to 43, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. It's going to die. But what is raised is imperishable. It will never die. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. The kernel by itself, the seed, is weak, perishable, and it should perish. All it's ever was there for is to perish in the depths of the earth. So it is with our bodies on earth. We are weak and perishable and without glory. But then when we are raised from the dead, By Christ's power, we are raised imperishable, full of glory and full of strength. Think about this, right? We care so much about our beauty in the earth. It's like little seeds comparing themselves. Which one is the most beautiful seed? It's kind of silly if you think about it, isn't it? We're so looking at ourselves, well, am I good looking? Am I not good looking? Am I beautiful? Am I not beautiful? What do other people think of me? Am I a good looking seed? If I would tell my wife, I said, honey, your head looks like a seed this morning. She would not give me a big smile, right? She would say, how can you possibly say that? That's a great insult. Well, in a way, the Apostle Paul writes, all of you look like seeds. Right? When you look in the mirror and you think I'm beautiful, I'm ugly, it's like comparing two different seeds. But that's not the end of your life. This is the ugly part. This is the perishable, the weak part of life. This is the little stage in which the seed falls out of the flower, so to speak, into the ground and dies. That's all this life on this earth really is. Out of this seed comes beautiful life, strong life, glorious life. And yet, when we look at our spouses, we say, you're absolutely beautiful, my darling and my bride. Now imagine what that new beauty will look like. We will look back and say, I was an ugly seed on the earth, but now I radiate the glory of Christ. That's what Paul is after here. He says, just like the kernel, when it's just a kernel, it's weak and without glory and it perishes quickly. But when it dies, it comes to new life. It's full of glory and strength and power. For then we see in the beauties, the beauty that the seed has brought forth, full of aroma and glory and the brightness as these lilies here show. So what is Paul trying to show? He's saying this, the seed really has two lives. It is born in its seed form, but transformed into its final form. It is born weak and ugly, but transformed into strength and glory. You and I, beloved brothers and sisters, if we are believers in Christ, are born in the same way. There's two stages of our life. The first is the life here on earth. But one day, unless the Lord returns, you and I will die. I've read this passage many times. At the side of a grave, looking at a brother or sister who has died, who once was in the vigor of strength and then one day breathed his or her last. A seed planted in the earth. But it's not a day of sorrow. For as Christ died and was laid in a tomb, 3 days later, he rose again from the dead into his glorious body that was absolutely full of strength, that still lives and still has the same energy and vitality and beauty today as it did 2,000 years ago. No makeup product can say that it keeps young for 2,000 years. But the new body, that is just the beginning. After a billion years, it's full of strength, joy, and energy still. In comparison, our earthly bodies are like this seed, weak and perishable. These bodies must die someday so that true life, eternal life, can begin. And sometimes when my body is in pain or when I've hurt myself, I think about that seed. It goes in the ground and dies. I feel like it's the first signs of the perishableness, the perishable nature of my body, right? The pain of my body is my body saying, one day I must die, for there is a life that's going to spring up out of my body, a new life, a new resurrection that comes through, a body that will never feel pain anymore. We must die in the body that we have received as children of Adam, the first man, so that we can be resurrected by the new Adam, Jesus Christ, the man of heaven, which brings us to our second point, the resurrection of the man of heaven. Paul explains the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, 44 to 45. He says, it is sown a natural body, that's a physical earthly body of dust. It is raised a spiritual body, it's if there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Paul begins to speak about natural and spiritual bodies. We don't usually speak about that when we walk on this earth, right? That's not usually a conversation of the people around us. It's kind of a different kind of language. People in the news never speak about, well, there's a few natural bodies that died or that have been in pain or whatever it is, right? The natural body is really just our earthly body. A natural body is that which we have on earth. We receive it through our parents, and they received it from theirs all the way back to Adam. The natural body is connected with Adam, the first man, the first living being among mankind that God made. Life multiplied through Adam and Eve and to their children, their children, their children, until you sit perhaps in your row with three generations or two generations together as you sit in your chairs. We all have the same life. We all have the same limitations, the same weaknesses. We're really all a family, if you want to say it that way. You look a lot like me. Whoever you are here, you have two eyes, two ears, a nose, a mouth. You have the same kind of skin, the same kind of heart beating in your chest, the same system of blood pumping through your veins. I mean, the details that we might differ a little bit, but you really look like me. And I look like you. We're all kind of the same, aren't we? We're one big family, so to speak, of people that all came out of Adam and Eve and are all the same. But there's another kind of life coming. And this is the true stage of life, the spiritual and heavenly life. And this natural body will produce a spiritual body by Christ, not less physical, but physical, eternal, glorious, and powerful bodies. This comes through the last Adam, Paul says, Jesus Christ. And Paul calls this Jesus in verse 49, the man of heaven. Now think about that. We were all born out of Adam and Eve, right? And they had children and so forth, so that we now sit here all looking alike in some way. And all people around the world, they might have different colors, different shapes of noses or foreheads or chins or whatever it is. But we all have the same basic makeup of our bodies because we all look like Adam and Eve. But now, Paul says, you're going to look like someone else. You're going to get a new body that looks like the second Adam, that looks like Jesus Christ. And what Jesus did was this, is he came to us, right? That's what we celebrate with Christmas. He became Adam's child, right? And through Mary and the Holy Spirit, Jesus was born. So he was the heavenly man turned and becoming man, becoming part of the first Adam. And so he had two ears, two eyes, a nose, a mouth. He looked like one of us. But he didn't come to just be one of us. He came to pick us up and to bring us to a new kind of life. He became like us so that we can become like him, so that we can receive after this life a new body. He writes in verse 45, the first man became a living being. You're a living being. You're a being who is alive. But the last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. Adam became a man. He was alive, but he could not give life. He could only multiply. But Jesus became the life-giving spirit, the eternal life-giving spirit. So what life does Jesus give? What is this new kind of life? Well, it really is the life of his resurrection, the life that is never defeated, that never dies, that never falls apart, that never weakens. And oh, that the world is trying to find this life, isn't it? People has put them into frozen cells. They asked themselves to be defrosted so that one day in the future, when science have developed, they could extend their life again and perhaps live another 100 years. We're not talking about living 200 years. We're talking here about living forever and ever, a newness of life that is so strong that it's not like a season that comes and goes. It's not like a year where the leaves come and then they fall and die. And this is a life that is not like the tree that is 2,000 years old. This is a life that never weakens any moment for all eternity. The power that overcomes the physical death of our bodies. That's joy. Because it's not a life that is accompanied with the weaknesses that we celebrate, that we suffer here, right? The weaknesses of depression and hardship and pain, the way that people inflict us with hardship, the way that we fight with one another and struggle with one another, the way that makes us shed tears, the way that our hearts is torn apart in this life. It's not that kind of life, because it's a life forever with God in heaven. A life where boredom does not exist, a life where joy never flows away, a life where pain never interferes with our days, but a life where joy is ever increased, where strength is ever more vibrant and full of life. This is the life of Christ. Jesus was not born on Christmas Day in the way that he never existed before. He became a son of Adam out of all eternity. He went and came into the earth. He had life before he was resurrected. He had the life of God always because he was the Son of God. And out of this life, we will receive new life. If you're older here and you think about death, you see your friends, perhaps your siblings around you dying, and you think, when is my turn? I spoke to one of us the other day and we spoke. He said, I've been reading the obituaries ever since I turned a certain age. I thought about that. I never read the obituaries unless when I know it's somebody, I'll look for it. I never think about death in the same way because I think, well, in the normal course of life, it should be, 30, 40, 50 years down the road, probably at least. But many of you are older, and you see many people of your own age having gone before you. But that's not the end. We see life in this world in such a way that this life is all there is. Like, we live in this life, I move in this life, every day I take in this life, I know I'm getting a bit older. When am I going to die? When am I going to be gone? Well, if you're in Christ, you're never going to be gone. You're going to one day close your eyes and open them in heaven. Your faith is really the beginning stage. It's almost like a toddler stage, right? And they say that a child begins to remember things after the age of 3. Well, your life on earth is like the first 3 years on this life where you're just beginning to see the things of God. And even when you're 80 or 90 years old, you're like a little toddler that learns to walk and learns to see little things about God and can just begin to say, Papa or Mama or Daddy or whatever your name is, the way you call your parents, right? It's you just begin to live. But then begins the real life in eternity. Jesus became like us so we can become like him. When we believe in Jesus, our life is hidden in Jesus. We become unbreakably united with Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Think about that. Because one day you're going to die. And you're going to receive, you're going to lose the strength of your mind. And you're going to think, well, I'm not as strong as I used to be. I'm not serving the Lord the way I used to be. My body feels weak. I can't go out and do those things. I'm getting weak. And what does God still have of me? The same as he always has. Ever since you became a true believer. You're unbreakably united with Christ. So that one day, even though your strength is gone, even though you're weak and your body is about to die, Christ is still united with him, and thus you are like that seed planted in the earth. The seed breaks open and your body will be gone. But you won't be. Because just like the seed, out of that broken seed comes a root, and it plants and it shows its glory to God in heaven as it looks with its head towards the sun. In the same way, your body will receive new life and you'll receive a new body. You won't look the same as you do now, praise the Lord. You will look beautiful and forever glorious. And now we say, well, I'm really not unhappy the way I look. Well, it's because you don't know what you will look like once you enter into God's presence. So that when we die, the life of Jesus raises us up from the dead to a new eternal life. Now consider the seed. Where is the life that brings forth the plant? Where is it? It's in the seed, isn't it? Doesn't the shell break open and out of that comes this life? Well, is it not the same with Christians? The seed is not in our hands. The strength, the new life is not in our hands, in our eyes, in our head. It's within Christ living in us, the hope of glory. And so the body must die for life to bring in a new kind of life. And so it is in our resurrection, it's Jesus' life within us that will raise us up from within. He will cause us to rise to a new kind of life. Out of this old body will rise a new body, a new life by the power of the resurrection. Paul writes this, and look, this is almost insulting, right? The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. A man of dust. Well, excuse me, Paul. Look at my skin, it's still pretty vital. Look at my muscle, you can't just say this is a body of dust. Look at my blood flowing through my body. Look at my heart. I mean, the medical world has spent years, centuries, trying to discover the hidden secrets of the human body. They just know kind of how to manipulate and how to help it at times, but they really don't understand the human body. No scientist can make a human body out of dust. And you call me a man of dust? What Paul is saying is God made you out of dust, the first man, but he will remake you out of Christ. Do you see that? The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust, like us. And so as is the man of heaven, so are also those who are of heaven. Just as if we have borne the image of the man of dust, so also we will bear the image of the man of heaven. What he is saying is, you will look like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is glorious. One day you will look into the mirror of eternal heaven and you will see the glory of Christ and you will say, I've never seen something this beautiful. Put all the Alps and all the beauty of the world together in one moment and let it all sink in so that I'm overwhelmed. But when you look in Christ, it looks like a dust figurine. But then you look in the mirror and you realize, but I reflect that glory. Why? I'm full of light. I'm reflecting the glory of Christ himself. My new body is as reflectively beautiful as the body of Christ. And then you look around at your brothers and sisters that have gone before you, and they shine, they radiate in the glory of Christ. That'll be a happy place. Take all the beauty of this earth together. One glimpse of one of your brothers and sisters who have gone before you, and it will all look like dust in comparison. By our natural regeneration, physical birth, we became the offspring of Adam through our parents. But by supernatural regeneration, that means that day when you believed that Jesus died for your sin, and you began to follow him. By that resurrection, you became a new creature in Christ. In our earthly bodies, we resemble the physical features of Adam. 2 legs, 2 arms, 2 eyes, a nose, a mouth, etc. We all look like Adam. But one day we'll look like Christ. When we die in this body received by Adam, you will look like Christ. Isn't that glorious? So you who walk on this earth so proud of the way you look. As one said, oh, how man can be so proud that their dunghill is a little bit bigger than their neighbor's dunghill. how proud we are of the things of this earth. How proud we are that I looked at my cheekbones are a little wider than my neighbor's, or a little narrower, or whatever the fashion of the day is. How proud that my skin is a little more soft than my neighbor's. This body is going to die. It's like a person bragging for 10 years that they once had very nice wallpaper in their hotel room. Why worry? Why care? This life flies by. I spoke to a man of 102 the other year. He says, life flies by. It's gone in a moment. But this life is not all there is. It's the beginning stage. It's a dressing room for all eternity. And the question, what will happen is this: does Christ live in you now, or does he not? For if he doesn't live in you, if you not belong to Christ, your death will be an eternal death. You will be forever in torment, paying for your sins. You will receive a new body, but a body that resembles the body of death. It's described in the Bible as a body whose worm will never die, even though they're in eternal torment. And so even though this is the day of the resurrection, I must press this upon your heart. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Not just by name, but by life. Does your heart display the love of Christ? Do you love in some way? Do you have the same aroma that was in Christ? Have you begun to bear the first fruits, as the New Testament says? Yes, we still sin, as James says so clearly. All of us sin with our lips. Right, all of us speak sin. We still sin. But can you see the first fruits of Christ through your life? Has he entered your heart, and is it that new life beginning to break through, to ooze out by the words you speak that are transformed, by the way your relationship with sin, the way you treat your spouse, the way you treat your children, the way you treat your brothers and sisters in the world? The way that you love others, has the love of Christ begun to bring fruit to the outside? If that is true, whether it be much or a little fruit, it's the fruit of Christ. It's the evidence of Christ living inside you. You don't go to an apple orchard and say, well, it's got to have 1,000 apples, otherwise it's not an apple tree. What do you look for? If there is apples, right? If it's got pears, you know it's not an apple tree. But if it's got apples, a lot or a few, you know it's an apple tree. In the same way, are you part of Christ? Does he bring forth his life through you? If the love of Christ is not in your heart, you don't belong to him. That's when you need to come to Christ. That's when you need to be honest, because we're all people of dust. You don't need to hold up a face before us. We have the weaknesses of our own body. We know how easy we fall. We know how blind I was. I was on the other side of the world, working for God, inside utterly dead. I tried to polish the outside, and I could put up a wonderful Christian show. But there was no love for God or for my fellow man in my heart. When that changed, it changed the outside. I think the outside probably became more ugly, because I was so, Lord, help me to love. And then I made more mistakes, perhaps, than I would have been before, because I was so careful to hold it all in from the outside world. But then God began to prune, as he prunes you who walk in Christ. You produce one apple. You're like, wow, look at an apple, Lord. Then another one, and another one. And so you began to grow. You didn't see it, but the people around you could see it. She began to bear more fruit. That's the resurrection life of Christ already in you. And if you don't have that resurrection life, you need to call upon the name of the Lord. Because he saves sinners. He's the one that can make the pear tree into an apple tree. He is the one that can change the nature of our hearts. If you say, well, it's so hard to love. I come, there's nothing inside my heart that wants to truly love my neighbor. There's nothing inside me that wants to love God. I know I should, but there's like a barrier. My heart doesn't want to love God. Ask God to help. Say, Lord, if you died upon the cross and you killed your own body, you can certainly kill this stubborn heart of mine and make it new. And he will. For those who seek will find. Those who knock, it will be opened to. And those who call, it will be answered. And so because Jesus rose from the dead, those who are connected with Jesus will rise from the dead with him. He is risen, and therefore we will arise. And this is the mystery of the final resurrection, the resurrection of the last trumpet in verse 50 to 57. I just have to read this to you. I tell you this, brothers and sisters, right, the people he's writing to, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Your earthly body cannot enter into the eternal kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that we will not all be physically death, as we would say it. We will not all be sleeping, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and that will be raised imperishable. And we shall all be changed, for the perishable, that which is dying, that body must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Gone. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says you cannot enter into heaven, into eternity, without this imperishable body. You will not enter into eternity with the flesh and blood you now possess. It's impossible. For it is still a sinful body, for even the greatest Christian still wrestles against the sins of the flesh. That's why Paul says you must overcome the flesh by the Spirit. He's writing that to Christians. He is saying, you Christians who have been saved, who have known the gospel, you must overcome the desires of the physical flesh. You must receive a far more superior body when you die. An imperishable, unbreakable, an unageable body. A body without weakness and a body that radiates eternal glory. Now Paul says, lean in. For I have a mystery to share with you, a secret God wants his people to know. We shall not all sleep, we'll not all be dead. There will still be a generation of Christians roaming the earth. But we shall all be changed. All believers will receive a resurrected body. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. When God's angels, or God himself, will blow that last trumpet, the last trumpet of the age, this present world will ever hear, the people of God will be resurrected. Will be transformed. That will be the first day of spring in the new creation, in which our old bodies will perish and our new bodies will spring forth by the resurrection of Christ. Then we will sing with all the saints, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? I could run forever as fast as I want, and I will not die. I will not break. I will not be weakened. You know, I love to see our old saints. One of the privileges of a pastor is that you see people in their last breaths of life. And after a while, you begin to see when a person is near death, when you see them lying on the ground. Nurses see the same thing, right? There's a sight that you know this is not going to take long. Death is near, it's impending. Then to think, as you see death slowly taking a hold of an older brother or sister, and suddenly it shoots to your mind that death will not be victorious. Death will not finally conquer. But life will spring forth, that the eyes will close. But when we see it close, they will open up and see the angels of God. As they are entered in, it says, welcome in your good and faithful servant. As they walk into the presence of God, and God has a broad smile on his face, for it says, there is joy in the presence of the angels. And I read that this way, that God is smiling in the presence of the angels as the angels see the presence of God. As we walk into the smile of God's eternal face with new life and new strength, where your back no longer hurts, your knees are no longer shaking, your heart is no longer quaking with fear or anxiety or pain or hurt. Everything from the past is gone, where God takes our face and wipes away the tears from all our life and will pour out into our heart joy and strength, where our shame of all our life will be done away with. Every pain inflicted will be turned into everlasting joy in the presence of God. Spurgeon said it this once. He said, those who suffer most on earth will rejoice most in heaven. For those who have more tears on earth will have the Father closer, wiping away the tears from their face. Those whose bodies are broken more on earth will rejoice more eternally in heaven as they stand in God's new given bodies to them. You who thought to defeat death, who thought that to defeat us, you who thought that your sting could take us down, O death, you had missed one person, Jesus Christ. Oh, you killed us, but Jesus rose from the dead, and so we will live forevermore. For Jesus bore our sins upon the cross and died. He defeated the power of sin through the resurrection, and now sin is defeated through Christ, and death and sin is no longer any issue in the lives of the people of God. Can you imagine that? You're going to close your eyes and open them again? You can do it now. You can blink. It takes longer to blink than to enter into the presence of God. Unless you twinkle with your eyes really fast. That's what the text says. Did you see that? In the twinkling of an eye, an instant, a millisecond, one moment to the next, suddenly we'll be in the presence of God, full of vigor and full of strength. And so Paul says, oh, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we respond to the resurrection? That we rejoice together, that we say to one another, Christ has risen. We will rise with him. One day this old body will be gone. This weak body, this, no matter how strong you are, you have weaknesses in you. No matter how strong, no matter how weak, you will get a body that is truly strong, that will be imperishable. And so Paul writes in verse 58, which I left out of the text reading so that you can hear it afresh now. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. None of your prayer is in vain. None of your suffering is in vain. None of your work is in vain. For he is alive. He is risen. He sees it all. He records it all. He knows it all. And most of all, dear saints, he loves you all. You see that? And therefore, serve the Lord with fear. Don't stop. Don't slow down in the work of the Lord. Abound in his work, whatever he has given you. If he has given you to run to the other side of the world and save the lost by his strength, or if he has given you aside by your bed to pray for your brothers and sisters in this land. Whatever work he has given you, don't stop now. For this body will soon be transformed into a new spiritual body. One day you'll receive a new body through the resurrection of Christ. For he is risen. He is risen indeed. And therefore, one day, it will be said of you, dear brothers and sisters, he's dead. But one day we will say, he is risen. And then all the people that have died in Christ will say again, he is risen indeed, as we stand as one enormous host before the presence of the Lord, giving him eternal praise. Therefore, do not fear death on this day, but live by the power of Christ, for he is risen. He is risen indeed. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. And Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you, for you are not dead, but you're alive. And because you live, we can see tomorrow. Because you live, we can look through the dawn and rise up one day. Oh, Father, we pray that you would help those who do not know you, those in whom the life of Christ is not yet planted. We pray that the gospel of Christ might be open to them, that even this very moment they might call upon the name of the Lord and be transformed. Father, help us to be full of faith and confidence. Help us, Lord, to see the life of Christ in us, and if it is there, however small, that we might have confidence so that by that faith it might grow stronger. Help us, Lord, to work while it is today, but also help us to rejoice in the resurrection power of Christ, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.